Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
Well, we had a bicycle built for two to start today's show, and now we've got bike race, I think it is, from Queen to lead us into this segment of our show. Going on a bike ride, hey, it's one of the best ways to exercise, I think, and soak in the great outdoors at the same time. If you want to maximize your enjoyment, a bike shop employee may try to convince you to buy a new expensive bike, and rather than fix up a cheaper used one, or maybe that one that you have sitting in your garage that you haven't used in a while. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about easy, affordable, and accessible bikes and bike riding with Andy Quant. Andy's owner of Gibbs Bike Shop in Lake Mills, and he also owns and operates the Bike Mobile. It's a mobile bike repair service in Dane County, and Andy's here to tell us what you need and maybe don't need to enjoy riding a bike on a regular basis. So, is your bike uncomfortable, or is it in disrepair? Maybe you don't have a bike and you want one. And you want to just get one equipped to ride out again. Where do you start? Well, we can deal with all of that. And I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Andy, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, what's your background as a bike mechanic, just to start?
Yeah, I got into it first when I was 13. About 1990, I started hanging around the local bike shop, and they couldn't afford to pay me, but I was willing to do it just to learn, so I was a bit of an intern.
And went from there?
Yeah, and I went from there. I picked up a few skills, and then I came to Madison for college and started working at Budget Bicycle Center downtown during college, and you know, that's when the bug really bit me, I think.
In 2016, you started the Bike Mobile, which I think is really cool. Then in early 2020, I think it probably really took off.
Yeah. Yeah. And in 2016, following yet another existential professional crisis in my life, I knew I needed to do something, and I knew I needed to do something with bikes. And that's when I came up with this idea of, you know, really breaking down the barriers that keep people's butts off their bikes. And what was the problem with bike shops? And the schlepping of the bikes is really a big thing, you know, and a lot of people don't know what they have or might not feel comfortable in the bike shop. So I thought if I could bring the bike shop to them, maybe that would solve some problems. And I came up with the idea for the Bike Mobile, which has really been a good one. And then with the pandemic, it's like I was curbside before it was cool. So
yeah,
it really took off.
That's a great, great story. And you love biking yourself, and you have a machine-first perspective, I think you call it.
Yeah, I said for years I liked fixing them more than riding them. I just really enjoy the machines. I don't know what it is about them. And I wasn't much of a rider. When I lived in Madison all through the aughts, essentially, I hardly had a car, so I rode my bike everywhere. That's just how I got around. But I'm more of a mechanic than I am a rider. And it wasn't until about 2017 that I started falling in love with road biking, especially out in Driftless, Wisconsin in the hills. It's just so nice with all the low traffic. It's the best road cycling in the world. And now I love the long distance hilly stuff.
Yeah. And you've become a YouTuber and a YouTube influencer. I got to tell you, I watched one of your YouTubes and it was funny, really funny, laugh out loud funny at points, but I learned a bit too.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Yeah, thanks. So that all started, I watched a lot of The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross. I like to take naps in the afternoon, and watching him paint, all of his shows were the exact same. And I'm like, the way he paints, his method is the same as tuning up bikes for me. I'm like, maybe I could do the same thing, but with bikes. And then I started watching a lot of YouTube, and I met a YouTuber who is a luthier that fixes guitars, and asked him if I should start a channel fixing bikes, and he's like, absolutely. So between those two guys, I put together this channel, and then it really took off this last fall, and yeah, it's been quite a ride the last 6 months or so with YouTube. So it's been a lot of fun.
You've got, yeah, you've got a, what, 30,000 or so people? At...
Yeah, I'm just coming up on 30,000 subscribers. The channel is called Bike Farmer.
I love the title.
Yeah, I have a few different styles of videos. I do my ride videos when I can get out and do them. I do a lot of bike rehab, refurbishing bikes, used bikes primarily for my bike shop. And then I also kind of do these, I call them rants, where I...
I have, caught one of your rants.
Yeah, I have some unpopular bike opinions, and I like to get pretty sarcastic, and yeah, so it's pretty fun to do those. I try to be funny and just say the tough stuff that a lot of people aren't saying.
Joe in Madison has something. Let's go there. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I'm 70 years old, and about 3 years ago, I stopped riding my bike because it was just too difficult to get up and down hills, keep up with everybody. I went and bought an e-bike, and now I am riding for miles and miles. As soon as I got on that bike, I felt like I was 11 years old again. And I'm thankful. I'm very thankful for the e-bike. See, they are a little pricey, but I tell you what, for an older person, they really are a good thing.
Joe, thanks for calling. Well, Andy, what do you think?
I think e-bikes are absolutely perfect for what Joe just described. You know, that's the biggest barrier to cycling, I think, is that it can be a lot of work. And an e-bike allows anyone to get on a bike and enjoy it because, flat out, it's fun. It's a good time. It feels good. And you don't have to work hard with an e-bike. It does a lot of the work for you. So, yeah, good for you.
Good for you, Joe. Thank you so much for calling. Annie in La Crosse, let's go to you. Hi, Annie.
Hi. Well, first I want to say I'm 76, and I got an e-bike 2 years ago. And you can make work hard if you want to. But also, I want women to know that there are padded bicycle shorts exclusively for women that work really well. And I would say if you're riding, wear something that covers your knees, and wear bike padded gloves, because I went down once, and those e-bikes are heavy, and they have a mind of their own, and you don't want to leave skin on the pavement. So be careful, but ride.
Yeah. All right. Annie, thanks for calling. Well, Andy, what do you say about that?
Well, that's something I hear at my bike shop all the time is, you know, do you have a comfortable seat? And I say, there's no such thing as a comfortable bike seat. If they were comfortable, we'd use them as couches. And the number one thing I say is get a pair of padded bike shorts is the way to make it most comfortable. But that's not always practical. That's another barrier, right?
Yeah.
And so they do, depending on the position you have on the bike, you know, you can find a saddle that works better than others. Something with a little bit of padding. I think support is very important, getting one that fits you right. There's a lot of different ways to do it. I've found trial and error to be the best, and I'm lucky I know what saddle fits me and just put it on all my bikes now.
Yeah. Annie, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. What's your idea of the best bike for most people?
So the one you have is the best one, mm-hmm. is where I always start. Mm-hmm. You know, let's fix the one you've got, or maybe upright handlebars, comfy seat, some different tires. There's some pretty easy things we can do to get that one to work for you. Sometimes that can get to be too expensive, and you might want to look at a new one. But a comfortable bike that fits you, I think, you know, that's the most important thing. A lot of people try to make, some idea of what they want to be on work, and it, you know, that doesn't always happen. But there's a lot of really good options, especially used bikes. There's so many of them out there. Mm-hmm. That economically speaking makes a lot of sense.
So when you're talking about a fit, I had somebody help me get fitted.
Yeah.
For the bike, I've got two bikes, a road bike and a hybrid.
Yeah.
And it was important. The bike I had before that, I didn't have get fitted. What do you look for if you're fitting somebody for a bike?
So I think for enthusiast level cyclists, people that are going to spend a lot of time on their bike, or if they're competing on a bike, or using a bike for that sort of purpose. There is such thing as a bike fitting where you can get hooked up to a machine with an expert, get measured, and dial it in, maximize performance. It's all about optimization. And that makes a lot of sense for some people. I think for most people, at my bike shop, I try to keep everything really simple. It's just small, medium, and large. Yeah. And I get a ton of people that come in and they're like, hey, this is my bike from college, and it's just not the right bike for them anymore, you know? And it's yeah. like, well, first of all, it's two sizes too small. And they're like, really? And then yeah. I put them on a large, and they're like, oh, this is how a bike is supposed to – I've never felt this before. Sometimes, you know, so it can yeah. be really simple. I try to focus on the simple side of things.
Yeah, and somebody like you can do that very, very well. I'm convinced of that.
I can eyeball it pretty good.
Andy Quant, our guest today, he is the owner of Gibbs Bike Shop in Lake Mills. He owns the Bike Mobile, and he's got a great YouTube channel on the YouTube channel. It's called The Bike Farmer, and he's going to be with us till 12:30. We'll take a quick look at the news, find out what else is in store for us there on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be back to answer your questions. I'm Larry Mueller for Wisconsin Public Radio.
I want to ride my bicycle.
Bicycling is our topic for today. Larry Mueller here, and I'm really pleased to have Andy Quant with us. He's the owner of Gibbs Bike Shop in Lake Mills. He also owns the Bike Mobile, operating throughout Dane County. He's also the Bike Farmer on YouTube. And lots of really cool things on that YouTube setup that he's got. So do you have a dusty bike in your garage maybe? And you want to know how to make it rideable again? Other questions or comments relating to biking? Give us a call. Number is 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call. Gerard in Lake Mills, we'll go to you. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You mentioned that I've seen a handful of Andy's videos on YouTube, but part of the introduction was his sometimes controversial takes on the biking industry. I was wondering if there was any more to say about that.
All right. Thanks for calling. You got some things to say, I'm sure, Andy.
I do. I mean, on the industry itself, I think the main thing where I'm coming from is I like to keep things as simple as possible. And I feel like the industry and the big brands, honestly, I feel a little bad for them because, you know, they kind of have to overcomplicate things to come up with new products to sell, because bicycles really are very durable products. Even the old ones, just with a little bit of time in the stand and some expertise, can work every bit as good as a brand new bicycle. And, you know, as a mechanic first, you know, it just makes a whole lot more sense to kind of repair what we've got or use what we've got, which, you know, so, you know, the industry itself is just very, very complicated now. It makes our job in the industry or as retailers very difficult too, because there's so many different bike categories, there's different wheel sizes, tire sizes, everything is really optimized for a specific use case. And I think, you know, just the general purpose bikes in our life or using bikes in normal life gets kind of pushed aside as it's not normal anymore. You know, like you got to be some sort of big cyclist in order to enjoy cycling. And I just don't believe that.
I don't believe it either. I know Trek and Trekhead, they're talking about, or they did reduce their spending on programs and staff positions by about 10%. And that's a big company.
Yeah. I heard 10% cuts. And then the most important thing from that, well, it was a leaked memo, but an announcement was a 40% reduction in SKUs, which I think was applauded by most people in the industry that, you know, back to basics, I think is what that means, is let's not have it be so complicated. It seems to be muddying the waters too much.
Gerard, thanks. Let's go to Nancy in Wautoma. Your turn. Hi, Nancy.
Well, hi there. I was a competitive ultramarathon cyclist in my 40s. And just for people who want to you know, test themselves and do some ultra type events, 100 milers and everything. If you go on the Ultra Marathon Cycling Association website, there's a lot of resources and information about how to condition and rides, because it's international. There are different rides that you can take to get started in that sort of a field. And the ultimate ultra competition is the Race Across America, which your guest probably is familiar with, which is fabulous to follow. It starts usually in July, goes coast to coast. And I think the record is now 7 days and a few minutes and seconds. And where riders get about an hour of sleep a night, you're going through desert, mountains, you name it, whatever weather conditions, because it doesn't stop. It's not like the Tour de France where you get a day off. It is coast to coast as fast as you can go. And then I had a quick comment about Bike Fit, just because of all the years that I was around women who were getting interested in biking, is getting a frame that fits your body and then getting it fit correctly for your knees and your, because that's why a lot of people get a sore seat. They're wobbling back and forth. You know, it's not fitted correctly, and people should be really encouraged to take their bike in to somebody who knows how to fit it for their body to make it comfortable for them. Because so many people get discouraged because they say, my knees hurt, my butt hurts.
Yeah. My back hurts. Yeah, you're right about that. And as I comment on that, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, what you're describing is a pretty intense form of cycling that is not what most people are going to be doing. And it's not really what I do with my businesses. Now, that said, I do something that's similar to ultra cycling, which is called randonneuring. It's an old traditional form of long distance cycling, and there's clubs all over the country, and we do stupid long distances, you know, a couple hundred miles in a day, that kind of thing. I really enjoy it. I love getting lost, especially out in Driftless, Wisconsin. I mean, we're so lucky. We've got the best road cycling on the planet right here in our backyard. I just absolutely love it. And I agree with, you know, if you're going to be spending all day on a bike, especially multiple days, a touring bike, or, you know, even if you're going to be riding a Century, it is a good idea if you're not able to figure out the fit for yourself where you don't have, you know, discomfort, go. There's people that are trained on how to fit you to a bike, and it's worth doing.
Nancy, thank you for calling. Joe in Pine River, your turn. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Andy, it's so great to talk to used bicycle geeks. I'm a former teacher, Phi Ed teacher in Amarillo, and we always had bicycling. We probably did 9 weeks of bicycling in our Phi Ed curriculum every year. And the reason we started with, we have our own bike shop at Amarillo. We got a federal grant through the Safe Routes to School program. So we have our own bike shop, fully tooled, heated, and every Wednesday afternoon, the kids get out of school early. We have a young mechanics program where I teach the middle school kids how to fix bikes, and there is no shortage of used bikes out there that people just toss. Or we get a lot of donations, police departments. I get a lot of them out of the dump. The guys in the dump know me. And so anyway, we turn these bikes. We have an earn a bike program where the kids can work during the year, keep track of their hours, and they earn a bike, or they fix bikes for sale, and we use that money to buy new parts. We've got a lot of great benefactors like Wheel and Sprocket's been really good to us in Appleton and Mike's Bike Shop in Berlin. But the point is, we've got these 12, 13, 14-year-old kids, and, you know, teaching them which end of the screwdriver to use, and some of them now can completely overhaul a bicycle. Most of the kids are girls, and they're really a joy to work with, and their mothers are very appreciative because they're learning how to use tools, they're developing skills. So anyway, I just want to thank you and all the other people. It's amazing the number of times people come in and say, here, you can have this bike. It's trashed. You know, the gears are trashed. And here, a few turns on a limiting screw on a rear derailleur, and, oh, it works like new. Oh, okay. But anyway.
Joe, thank you so much. And, you know, that sounds like a great program in Amro.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. You don't hear about those programs really getting sticky very often. I think they get started up and kind of fizzle out, and so it's wonderful to hear that. I think he touched on it a little bit, but something I think a lot about is the bicycle surplus problem. There's a lot of bicycles out there in garages all over the place that aren't being ridden. They've been hanging on hooks, maybe back in the garden shed, and people don't know what to do with them. And there are programs out there like Free Bikes for Kids, which is now Bikes for Kids Wisconsin. I tell people to drop off bikes at Gibbs Bike Shop. And what I can't use at the bike shop, I donate to other charities. But we can usually find another home for those. Or sometimes they do end up getting scrapped, but you can even donate the scrap metal to benefit charities. But the bicycles have some value, and there's places to go with them.
Well, and you're being modest here. You served as executive director of Free Bikes for Kids Madison.
That's correct. Yeah, I started that in the end of 2016. I had heard about the program and needed something to do over the winter, so we started it up back then. I ran it for a few years, and then right after the pandemic, well, actually it was right before the pandemic, I hired Christy Goforth to take my place, and I think she's now celebrating 4 years as the ED, and they just rebranded to Bikes for Kids Wisconsin. They're giving away 400 bikes this weekend, actually.
That is very, very cool. Chris in Appleton has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. And what I'm interested in is converting my existing Trek bicycles into e-bikes and wondering if that's a worthwhile endeavor versus just going out and buying an e-bike?
I would have to say no on that one. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's certainly possible. And, you know, if you want to do it as a hobby or, you know, a little project, you know, in the garage, you can buy kits. There's some halfway decent kits you can buy, and it can be a lot of fun. But if it's anything you want to do seriously, you're better off trading those bikes in towards an e-bike.
Yeah. It would, yeah, there's probably a lot involved with that. But Chris, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Greg in Chicago, we lost Greg in Chicago, but was interested in learning more about Bikes for Kids. But
yeah, there's a Chicago chapter of Free Bikes for Kids. So yeah, that you can Google fb4k.org. is a good place to go to find out about all the different affiliates around the country, actually, for Free Bikes for Kids.
What's the, as people come into your shop, what are the most common problems that people have?
Wow. One of the things I hear most from people in small town Lake Mills, Wisconsin, you know, which is just 10 miles south of Trek headquarters, is I'm not a big biker. I don't need a fancy Trek or anything like that. I don't race or anything like that. And that's really what I hear the most. And so that's kind of what I'm all about is my shop slogan has been since day one, practical bikes for practical people. And, so the biggest problem I think is just an uncertainty that, you know, the people feel like they're doing it wrong. And I'm kind of on a mission now to normalize cycling. And so I try to make all my bikes very comfortable, easy to ride, make sure they work great, you know, that's as a mechanic. So give them the best chance of having a positive experience when they hop on a bike for the first time in 20 years or something like that.
So you sell bikes, but your bikes are in a price range that is below.
Yeah. I have a couple of road bikes, you know, that are over $1,000, but I mean, most of the bikes that I sell are under $500, the used bikes that I sell. And, you know, I just try to keep it really affordable. I think you walk into a large cycling store these days and the sticker shock can be a little overwhelming. Makes you feel like you got to sign up for something that you don't want to sign up for in order to enjoy cycling. And I just, you know, see that as another barrier. So I try to break it down, make it easier for people to wrap their brains around it.
Chris in Beloit, we'll go to you next. Chris, thanks for calling.
Hi there. So, you know, I just want to say, Andy, you know, I'm definitely a fan of the YouTube channel.
Thank you.
Caught you while surfing through some other channels, and, you know, it's really kind of helped me. Given that, I actually do got a question for you as far as, you know, flipping bikes. Now, I've kind of noticed that, the prices on a lot of components have kind of skyrocketed in the last couple of years. So, you know, and is it something to get into if I can buy a $50 bike, I have to stick $300 worth of parts and components in it, and it's only worth $150 now in the marketplace?
Well, that's an interesting question. So I think, you know, I am an established bike shop. I'm insured.
Yeah.
You know, it's a legitimate business. And so I charge accordingly for that. I have a guarantee and that sort of thing. So I am able to charge a little bit more and turn a bit more profit. I was watching another channel the other day, and somebody said they found a bike on Marketplace for $50 and then went to Amazon and bought $60 worth of tires and grips and a saddle and built it up and then flipped it for like $250 on Marketplace. So they turned a nice little profit. And so I definitely think it's a fun hobby and people are doing it. Not sure how legal that is to just, you know, I do think that to solve the bicycle surplus problem, one thing that we need a lot more of is legitimate used bike shops. A lot of people think that used bike shops need to be co-ops or nonprofits, 501c3 nonprofits, and I don't think they need to be. I think that you can buy the bikes from people and flip them and pay your taxes and do it legitimately, and that really helps keep bikes out of the landfill, and it's good for everyone.
Chris, thanks again. Lynn in Stoddard, we'll go to you. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, yes. My husband has an old, very good quality Italian bike that he used in the 80s, so quite old. It's just kind of sitting in the garage, and wondered if there's resale value.
Great question. Yes, sometimes is the answer. It's really hard to say without seeing it, but... you know, that was one of the things in the 70s and 80s. If you wanted to get a really high-end race bike, it had to come from Europe for the most part. You know, Trek and Specialized started up in the late 70s, and then they started producing things domestically. There were some other frame builders domestically, but so there are a lot of European race bikes around, and there are collectors out there, especially if it's in really great condition. If it's been sitting and it's rusty, you know, it's got some value, but not a ton.
All right. There you go. Thank you very much for calling, Lynn. Appreciate it. Well, the whole business about making money, and it sounds like Trek has not been making there. I really love the YouTube video you had on Trek was the example that you were using, but there's a couple of different ways. There was the local bike shop, and then there's more the corporate kind of bike shop.
Yeah, I did a video. That's an idea I had a while back. The difference between cycling stores and bike shops is what I've called them. And that kind of speaks to bicycle brands, and this is all of them. And we pick on Trek just because it's in our backyards. And
yeah,
they're not any better or worse than any of the others, in my opinion. Like, they're all kind of in the same boat that's struggling in its own way. But they have to keep coming up with new innovations. And a lot of times it's just making things more complicated. And that's sold in a cycling store, where I believe you kind of have to be a cyclist in order to really get it. And then a bike shop is kind of what we remember as kids, where, you know, a lot of towns had a bike shop and the guy that would fix the bikes. And that's what I do at Gibbs. You know, we have that in Lake Mills. It's the original location from 1933. That's where I got my first bike in 1983. My mom got hers in 1953. You know, usually used or maybe kind of a second tier brand or something, but still decent quality, and they work good. But, you know, you go in there and there's some character, and, you know, it's dirty. And whereas the cycling stores, it's like, man, you know, people are wearing button up shirts and, you know, like, what's going on? This is a bike shop, you know? And so I definitely am more of a bike shop guy than a cycling store guy, for sure.
Scott in New Berlin has a question. Scott, hi.
Yeah, I'm curious about the use of furniture polish on bicycles and how and why, and just maybe expound upon that. Thanks.
Okay, so thank you for watching the channel, by the way. So that's something that I talk about on my YouTube channel all the time. But yeah, it's an old trick I learned at Budget Bikes is we use Lemony Fresh Pledge to polish bikes. Works great. And I have found that if you just go buy the generic Lemony Fresh furniture polish from the grocery store, it's the best bike polish, and it's cheap. Yeah, it's wonderful.
And it kind of sells your bike a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, all my tune-ups, I polish the bikes with, you know, furniture polish, essentially, and all my used bikes, you know, you got to clean everything. And,
yeah.
You know, that's how I clean the bikes is in the stand. I hardly ever get the hose out on a bike.
Molly in Wausau, what's on your mind?
Thank you. Yes. I'm hoping you can help me with a ping that just seems to randomly pop up from my front tire. And I don't know whether I have a road bike and I'm suspect it's maybe the rim, but I just seems to function just fine, but it is driving me nuts. I'll be biking along and it's like ping, like a cable keeps hitting it, but it's been fine. So
You kind of broke up a little bit there. Ping.
I
thought about spoke right away.
Yeah. I mean, if it's intermittent, I have no idea. If it's every rotation, the first thing that comes to mind is if you have an old cyclo computer, an old bike computer, it's the sensor hitting the magnet. I don't know, though. I mean, it's really hard to say. If it's totally random, it could just be a rock every once in a while. I don't know.
Yeah, you'd have to look at the bike.
Hey, absolutely. I mean, I say that all the time. People are like, you know, hey, I've got this going on. And it's like, you know, without looking at the bike, I can't tell you for sure. But this one sounds like it's something really pretty simple. We'd be able to figure it out pretty quick, I think.
Yeah, there you go, Molly. Thank you for calling. Mike in Madison. Actually, we're running close to time here. His friend bought a $5,000 e-bike, and now it's so heavy he can't lift it up onto his bike rack.
Yeah, you know, that's a problem. And a caller earlier had mentioned tipping over on her e-bike. A lot of the less expensive e-bikes, the motors and the batteries are really heavy on them, and it seems like a good idea until they become really top-heavy and if you buy a shop quality e-bike from one of the major brands, a bike brand that made an electric bike, they tend to have a lower center of gravity. They tend to be a little bit lighter, much higher quality. It's worth spending the extra money to get a good one.
Yeah. Somebody else talked to me about running out of battery and then having to bike it back without.
Yeah. That happened to me once actually. And now I've learned it's like, no, you want an e-bike that when it's not working, it's a regular bike. It's just as heavy, but. I mean, a $5,000 bike should be one of the lighter ones, but still, sometimes it's like if you got to lift it up in a rack. I mean, e-bikes have their drawbacks. They break down a lot of barriers, but they also have their drawbacks. So.
Andy Kwan, he owns Gibbs Bike Shop in Lake Mills. He owns the Bike Mobile, a mobile bike repair service in Dane County, and his weekly videos. Bike Farmer, the name of those videos on the YouTube channel. And he'll be back. We'll get him back and do this again. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.